It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Taliban takeover. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. It is game, set, match in Afghanistan. Islamic hardliners now running the show there. The Taliban vowing to establish an Islamic state after seizing control of the capital, Kabul, yesterday.
There is a frantic situation at Kabul International Airport. Afghans desperate to leave the country are chasing military planes on the tarmac, some tying themselves to the wheels, some falling to their deaths.
Cammy McCormick reporting at least five deaths reported at the Kabul airport, which is shut down right now. Afghanistan's president fled the country yesterday. Those left behind fear for what's to come.
I cannot tell you how angry I am when it comes to the international effort and the way we were dropped. Do you know how many lives have been wasted because of this?
That Afghan heads up a women's rights group in Kabul. Like dominoes, towns and cities throughout the countryside fell without a fight. Correspondent Courtney Q.
There was a belief that they would hold up and that they would fight against the Taliban. Well, in many cases, they laid down their weapons, they walked away. The Taliban just walked into these locations and took them over.
Texas Congressman Mike McCall says the fall of Afghanistan is President Biden's Saigon moment.
This is going to be a stain on this president and his presidency. And I think he's going to have blood on his hands for what they did.
Still, Secretary of State Tony Blinken insists the U.S. strategy for dealing with Afghanistan was the right one.
Like it or not, there was an agreement that the forces would come out on May 1st. Had we not begun that process, which is what the president did, then we would have been back at war with the Taliban. And by the way, from the perspective of our strategic competitors around the world, there's nothing they would like more than to see us in Afghanistan for another 5, 10, 20 years.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo fears Afghanistan will become a breeding ground for terrorists.
What will the Taliban believe that the Americans are prepared to do if they begin to play footsie with Al-Qaeda or let ISIS begin to grow in Afghanistan?
Military affairs analyst Bill Raggio calls the fall of the country the greatest intelligence failure since the Tet Offensive in Vietnam.
They never understood the enemy. U.S. military leaders, intelligence leaders checked out on the Taliban. Everyone should have seen this coming.
The Biden administration blames the Taliban takeover on former President Trump, who set in motion our troop withdrawal, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan.
This would not happen if President Trump was in the White House. That just would not happen when you project strength and confidence from the White House. But unfortunately, we don't have that today.
President Biden may address the nation about the situation in Afghanistan within the next couple days. He is currently on vacation at Camp David. Chaos and carnage in another part of the world, that would be Haiti, where a magnitude 7.2 earthquake killed at least 1,300 people on Saturday.
Haiti's Prime Minister Ariel Henry, who issued a state of emergency, says they desperately need medical assistance for the injured. And with hospitals and clinics in the area heavily damaged, the U.S. Coast Guard has been evacuating the injured. Vladimir Dutier, Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
This American missionary near the capital says the country is in desperate need of medical supplies.
It was unbelievable. And then people just started screaming everywhere on the streets and just out of, you know, panic and fear.
The quake struck 60 miles from that devastating 2010 earthquake, which killed at least 250,000 people. Reporter Ed Augustine.
After the 2010 earthquake, no one knows precisely how many people died. Between 100,000 and 360,000 are the ranges. So it was really a cataclysmic level of damage. And one of the reasons that so many people died is that earthquake hit close to Port-au-Prince, Haiti's capital. This one hit in a more rural area.
2,800 people hurt in this latest quake, and to add insult to injury, torrential rain from what was Tropical Storm Grace has inundated the region. Parts of the Florida Panhandle under a tropical storm warning today as Fred approaches from the Gulf of Mexico. This woman busy filling sandbags near her home in Apalachicola, Florida.
Any blowing rain won't seep through. Let's hope this is the only one this year.
Forecasters believe Fred will strengthen before making landfall sometime this afternoon near Panama City. The director of the National Institutes of Health, Dr. Francis Collins, is calling unvaccinated Americans sitting ducks. even as the Delta variant sends COVID cases soaring.
90 million people are still unvaccinated who are sitting ducks for this virus, and that's the mess we're in. We're in a world of hurt, and it's a critical juncture to try to do everything we can to turn that around.
Since the 1st of July, there's been a 700% increase in COVID cases in this country. Health officials fear one of the long-term complications from the coronavirus may be dementia. According to the Alzheimer's Association, COVID infections have been linked to long-term memory loss in some people. The Biden administration expected to reveal today historic increases in food stamps. The New York Times reports families will get about $30 more a month starting later this year. Mark Little with Cure America says there is nothing to be proud of with expanding poverty.
We are on our way, a quick slide, into something that we don't want to really talk about, but it's socialism when we're trying to break the system. And it's really a tragedy to see smart people breaking the back of America with policies that have been proven not to work.
Food stamps, also known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, used by more than 40 million Americans, which accounts for about 10% of the total population. Still to come on this Monday edition of the Noon Report, why did the bus go off the road? Northern Tier Church vows to rebuild, and 1 week from tomorrow, New York gets a new governor. But first, let's stop by the Weather Center, get that first peek of the forecast with Kevin Williams.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're tracking a return to summer humidity and some showers and thundershowers. All that forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right, umbrellas up. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the stories making news across New York and Pennsylvania. Starting today, New York City becomes the first city in America to require you show proof of vaccination in order to enter restaurants, gyms, or movie theaters. Mayor Bill de Blasio hopes it increases the COVID inoculation rate.
The goal here is to convince everyone that this is the time. If we're going to stop the Delta variant, the time is now.
But not everybody is on board the mayor's plan.
We do not like the mandates. We don't approve of them. We want to keep America free.
If my job requires me to get the vaccine, then I'm going to look to move somewhere else. I have to. I'm not going to compromise my health for the rest of my life.
Susan Betch-DeTomer is a lawyer from Bath, New York, and talks about the constitutionality of such vaccine mandates with our own Tracy Lynn.
What can we say to all the people that are concerned that this is infringing on personal rights?
So it depends on the venue in which the vaccination is being required. We're very familiar with childhood vaccinations for school. Certainly the government can do that because public health is at risk. They have a broad leeway with public health. For example, as a condition of employment, they can require that. In New York, we are what's called a right to work state, which basically translates to being a right to fire people state. You can be fired in New York State for any reason or no reason at all, as long as it's not a discriminatory reason. So, you know, the person could say you can't have any visible tattoos, and if you come to work with a visible tattoo, they can fire you. So in the same way, they can say, well, you need to get vaccinated, and if you're not vaccinated, that's fine. You have a right not to get vaccinated, but they have a right not to have an unvaccinated person working there if that is what they want to do. And a lot of people get confused because they think, well, it's my constitutional right to do this or that. But a constitutional right is only effective against the government. It's not effective against the private sector at all.
Yeah, good point. And I think that the right to work aspect applies in Pennsylvania as well. Is there anything else you want to say about the whole vaccine debate?
The government has a lot of leeway when it comes to public health. And I think anybody who's trying to fight this is fighting an uphill battle. I think the most interesting aspect of this, though, and something that I would like to challenge if I got a case, is use it to overturn Roe versus Wade. Because Roe versus Wade says that medical decisions are between a person and their doctor. And that is supposed to be, you know, as far as the government or the city or the federal government requiring this. And again, constitutional rights are effective against the government. So if everything that you want to do medically is between you and your doctor, then the vaccine should be the same. And so therefore, constitutional rights are effective against the government. And so you could use that to attempt to overturn Roe versus Wade, in that they are denying you the right to have your medical decisions being between you and your physician. So I think that that would be an argument that could be made. and could be made potentially to overturn Roe versus Wade because they couldn't have it both ways.
That's DeBend County, New York attorney Susan Betts de Tomer speaking to Family Life's Tracy Lynn. Counterfeit COVID cards have gotten the attention of the top Democrat in the U.S. Senate.
Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is in disbelief. Instead of getting a COVID shot, he says some people are paying money for counterfeit vaccine cards.
Who could be that dumb? Who could be that dumb? The vaccine's free. The vaccine's safe. Get the vaccine.
He's mostly blaming China for the recent uptick. Several shipments of cards from China were recently intercepted in Memphis.
They're being sold online, and they're coming in large amounts and large bunches through ports of entry. I am urging a federal crackdown on these counterfeit COVID cards.
Recent reports found cards going for as much as $200 apiece.
Correspondent Steve Burns, Buffalo, New York Mayor Byron Brown is making another push to get his name on the November ballot instead of just being a write-in candidate. The mayor is petitioning to secure an independent line. Brown lost in dramatic fashion to Democratic Socialist India Walton in the June primary. Since then, he has been campaigning for a fifth term as a write-in. A poll last week showed him with a 10-point lead over Walton, despite losing to her in the primary. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's last day at the office is a week from tomorrow, when Kathy Hochul's sworn in as the state's first-ever female governor. The Western New Yorker says she agrees with the decision to end the impeachment investigation.
I support Speaker Heastie's decision. What he decides to do with respect to the investigations, I have utmost respect for.
The incoming governor says some holdovers from the Cuomo administration will get to keep their jobs in her administration.
What I will do is put together an administration that has some continuity because we are in a crisis situation.
The decision to end the impeachment probe not sitting well with some. Queens Democrat Ron Kim wonders whether there was backdoor deal-making to let the governor off the hook.
We all know that that is often how Albany works. And I certainly hope that this is not the case, that there was no backdoor deal to let the governor have a gracious exit.
The Assembly Judiciary Committee says it will release the findings of its impeachment probe, but gave no date certain for doing that. Police still do not know why a tour bus veered off Interstate 90 about halfway between Rochester and Syracuse over the weekend. 57 on board were hurt. This man's parents were on that bus.
It's a miracle, really. Life works in crazy ways, but they both made it out okay.
The bus was bound for Niagara Falls. It landed on its side near the town of Weedsport, some 25 miles west of Syracuse. Massive fire in Syracuse forced people to hang out of windows to try and escape the burning apartment. At least 10 people were rescued from that three-story building early yesterday, including a one-month-old child. A church in the Northern Tier is vowing to rebuild after being struck by lightning and burning to the ground last week. Members of the South Montrose Community Church say the setback is only temporary.
We will survive.
We will step up with God's help. We will take care of it. It's only a building and the church is the people, not the building.
And that's why I say we will rebuild.
Undeterred parishioners gathered for a Hawaiian-themed church picnic under a pavilion in Dimmock, PA yesterday.
We know that this isn't the end. The church isn't the building. It is the people. And we're still here, and we're still worshiping, and we're still here to do anything that God has for us to do.
I have to look at it. It's God's plan. Maybe it's time for a change. You could either laugh or cry. So, and we're done crying. So we're going to laugh.
That church was built in the 1940s and had recently undergone an extensive renovation. You're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life. Check in sports next. The New York Mets lost their third straight. They fall 2.5 games back of Atlanta in the NL East. The Mets got clobbered at Citi Field yesterday by the Dodgers. 14-4 your final. Max Scherzer won his second straight for his new team, LA. The Dodgers still 4 back of the red-hot Giants in the NL West. Elsewhere in the National League, the Phillies fell to Cincy 7-4. That puts Philadelphia a game behind Atlanta, who beat the Nationals 6-5. Atlanta manager Brian Snitker.
This lineup is deep now.
and we're getting contributions from a lot of guys, which is a really good thing. And hopefully, you know, we can go on for another 2.5 months or whatever and do that.
The Braves now first place in the NL East. In the NL Central, Milwaukee is the best team. They beat the Pirates 2-1 yesterday. In the American League, the Yankees won their second straight over the White Sox 5-3. Manager Aaron Boone says the Bronx Bombers are playing good baseball right now.
I've really felt like with this group that there's an underlying confidence that has existed even in our worst of days this year. Maybe not rightly so, but I do believe they always believe we were going to turn this around and we were going to get it rolling.
The Yanks rolling right now. They're 5.5 back in the AL East. Boston beat the Orioles to stay 1.5 ahead of New York and 3 back of first place Tampa. And the world of tennis, losing one of the game's all-time greats, Roger Federer, is out again. The 40-year-old announced on Facebook that he plans to undergo a third operation on his knee, and that will result in him missing this year's U.S. Open. Federer has already missed the Australian Open and was unable to compete at the Summer Olympics as well due to the nagging knee injury. The tennis legend says he will be on crutches for several weeks and will miss many months of tennis. Let's hope he can get back someday. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And there's much more ahead on this Monday edition of the Noon Report. Taliban takeover, Haiti reels from another earthquake, and Kev calling for more rain. His forecast is yours in 4 minutes.
Oz Guinness's latest book, The Magna Carta of Humanity, is a must read. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. At the Colson Center, we're always trying to point you to resources, not only from us, but from our friends, that offer a Christian worldview perspective and hope for living in our cultural moment. There's a reason that a lot of these resources are written by my friend Oz Guinness. And his latest book, The Magna Carta of Humanity, is another must read. Christians today are increasingly feeling the pressure of living in a cultural moment that champions freedom but means something completely different by the word. It's always a freedom from any sort of restraint, not a freedom for who we are, who we were made to be, and what it means to live together. Oz Guinness's book describes a choice that's in front of humanity right now. Take a listen to what he has to say about it.
We are at an extraordinary civilizational moment. The United States, which is the world's lead society, is suffering the greatest crisis in its history since the Civil War. And the Christian Church, which has been the single strongest influence in the West, is plagued with scandals and divisions and confusion and lack of confidence. There's no question that America's as deeply divided as at any moment since the Civil War. But why? Some blame the social media. Some the former president, some the coastals against the heartlanders, some nationalists and populists over against the globalists. But what I'm arguing, and I think the deepest way of looking at it is, there's a difference between those who understand the Republican freedom from the perspective of the American Revolution, 1776, and those who understand it from the perspective of the French Revolution and its heirs, 1789. Because things like postmodernism, political correctness, tribal politics, identity politics, the sexual revolution, cancel culture, neo-Marxism, all of these have come down from the heirs of the French Revolution. So my book shows how the differences between, say, their sources, one, the Bible, the other, the French Enlightenment. And you can see the differences right down to those that are roiling America this year, like critical race theory and different notions of justice. Both sides agree there is injustice, but the differences come in how we address them. And as I said, the radical left only leads to oppression and failure, and always has. Whereas the gospel, in addressing these things, puts wrongs right. And after repentance and reconciliation and forgiveness, really leads to restoration so that enemies can be made friends again. What I tried to write is the deepest analysis of what's gone wrong today, and at the same time, the most constructive way forward for tomorrow. Because Sinai, the Exodus roots of the American Revolution, are what I argue is the Magna Carta for humanity.
I want you to have this book. I think it's incredibly important. And so for a donation of any amount this month to the Colson Center, I will send you a copy of the Magna Carta of Humanity, Oz Guinness's latest book. Go to breakpoint.org/August. That's breakpoint.org/August. Make a donation of any amount to the Colson Center and receive a copy of the book, The Magna Carta of Humanity by the brilliant Oz Guinness. Again, that's breakpoint.org/August. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stumstreet.
Thank you very much, John. Time for us to take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. The call for this afternoon, rather cloudy across Pennsylvania and becoming so where it has not already in New York State. Showers and thundershowers spreading across parts of the area with high temperatures in the 70s. Rather cloudy and muggy tonight, tomorrow with showers and rumbles. 60s tonight, 70s tomorrow. Wednesday clouds, sun, showers and thundershowers, 70s in the 80s. There could be some locally heavy rains over the next several days, particularly for those of you in central and eastern Pennsylvania.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the heads up. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's happening this Monday afternoon, the 16th of August. The Taliban has taken over Afghanistan like a steamroller. They swept into the capital city, Kabul, and are now calling the shots. Retired four-star Army General Jack Keane.
It's a stark reminder of what defeat really looks like. And the suffering that people are going to experience as a result of that defeat. Listen, it took four presidents to get where we are in Afghanistan, and there's good things done by each, and some serious policy mistakes done by each. But when it really gets down to it, this Taliban victory that we're seeing right before our eyes is something President Biden truly owns.
Texas Congressman Mike McCall.
You just had President Biden a few days ago saying you wouldn't see helicopters evacuating the embassy like Saigon, and yet here we are. This is President Biden's Saigon moment.
This is not Saigon. We went to Afghanistan 20 years ago with one mission, and that mission was to deal with the folks who attacked us on 9/11. And we have succeeded in that mission.
Secretary of State Tony Blinken at the airport in Kabul today. Frantic Afghans were seen clinging to departing military aircraft. Some fell to their death. Correspondent Richard Engel says things are about to change big time in that country.
There is an increasing sense of lawlessness on the streets. It is intimidating. There has been some looting because you've seen a total collapse of the security forces down to local police officers. Some of them are changing out of their uniforms, wearing traditional dress.
President Biden plans to address the nation about the crisis in Afghanistan within the next few days. His national security advisor, Jake Sullivan.
The president did not think it was inevitable that the Taliban were going to take control of Afghanistan. He thought the Afghan National Security Forces could step up and fight because we spent 20 years, tens of billions of dollars training them, giving them the best equipment, giving them support of U.S. forces for 20 years. And when push came to shove, they decided not to step up and fight for their country.
The other big story today, Haiti. The death toll's risen to 1,300 from that 7.2 earthquake on Saturday. Thousands more need help, but rescue workers cannot get to them.
Where this earthquake took place, it's very, very difficult for first responders that are based here in the capital to get to. The roads have been shut down, have been closed because of landslides that occurred because of the earthquake, and so the roads are impassable, and even on the best of days, the roads were potentially dangerous.
Complicating the rescue effort, the remnants of Tropical Storm Grace dumping buckets of rain on Haiti today. Starting today, New Yorkers will need proof they've gotten the COVID shot in order to dine indoors, go to the gym, or take in a movie.
Restaurant owners across the city say they're not looking forward to asking diners to see their vaccination cards before letting them in.
It's going to be really, really hard to police people coming in with their cards on top of all the other stuff that we have to deal with.
You'll need that card to get into a gym, a concert, or an indoor restaurant, but many New Yorkers say it's about time the vaccinated be rewarded for rolling up their sleeves.
I'm very much in favor of it. I think that we have enough experience now that we know what to do to keep others safe and ourselves safe.
Noam Layden, New York.
It's been a week now since Canada opened its border to us. Correspondent Meg Oliver has this report.
From Washington State, Michigan, New York to Maine, vaccinated travelers are again crossing the northern border. Not just on the ground, but packed planes, too.
It's been so long, and it's about time.
The mayor of the usually bustling Niagara Falls, Ontario, says tourists are needed to revive struggling businesses.
Imagine cutting off 50% of your revenue overnight.
Niagara Falls is one of the most popular tourist destinations in both countries. 14 million tourists flock to the American and Canadian Falls every year to take in the breathtaking scenery.
The U.S. remains closed to Canadians, and that is taking a huge bite out of the tourism industry in places like Niagara Falls, New York. Well, next at noon, an Afghan war vet is weighing in on the fall of Afghanistan to the Taliban. Jim Hansen is a former Army Special Forces member.
This is a major and a most embarrassing defeat in U.S. history. We lost more lives in Vietnam, but this debacle is more damaging to showing the failures of our institutions. The Biden team was busy making TikTok videos and feeding Joe ice cream. The Pentagon was busy studying white rage and planning pride marches, and a bunch of savages in sandals undid 20 years of work and untold billions of dollars. Anyone involved in the planning of this exit should be fired or court-martialed, along with anyone who ever reported that the Afghan army was in any way ready for duty.
Hansen says the Biden administration is wrong to blame the previous president for the fall of Afghanistan, even though the ex-pres negotiated our troop withdrawal from there back on the 1st of May.
Joe Biden does not get to pass the blame. Donald Trump started a deal to get us out of the longest war we've ever fought, as we should have. We had no plan to win. The military leaders over the years had created this year after year of the same thing over and over again, as if that was going to change. Biden decided to go ahead and do this and assumed responsibility then for doing it competently, for failing to stop the advance of the Taliban on the capital while we were still there and our people were at risk is 100% a failure of Joe Biden and his national security team to plan for that. Why weren't they bombing the approaches to Kabul when the Taliban was rolling in and we still had diplomats, civilians, and Afghans at risk? That's their fault.
Hansen says he cannot understand how the Biden administration was caught so off guard, since the warning signs of a resurgent Taliban were there for months.
It's dismal, and there's no question that there was no planning and there was no care taken to ensure that this handoff was done in a way that would keep them safe. Joe Biden has shown what everyone knew during the campaign. He is not competent to serve as president. It's time to look at the fitness of duty for him and basically everyone he has brought into power. There are a bunch of people who do not understand the dangerous world we live in, and we're seeing the horrifying results of that for the Afghan people and for U.S. strategic power the worldwide.
Hansen says it is not just the future of Afghanistan that keeps him up at night. He fears Afghanistan will become a breeding ground for the next generation of terrorists.
Just leaving Afghanistan was not a bad idea. Leaving it in a way that makes America look weak and incompetent invites exactly what you said, the terror groups to go ahead and take a shot at us. I don't know why we haven't seen more generals and civilian leaders at the Pentagon walking out the door having resigned in disgrace. They should either be fired or an investigation done to see how we managed to let these people walk us into this kind of a debacle on the world stage. It's putting everyone in the United States at risk, and I want somebody held accountable for this.
In the final analysis, Jim Hansen says we are in a worse position today in Afghanistan than we were 20 years ago when we first started fighting there.
We should have deposed the Taliban in 2001 and just carpet bombed the country with leaflets saying, don't make us do that again because we'll bomb the country flat and then come back and make the rubble bounce. That would have been a smart move.
That is Afghan war vet and former Army Special Forces member Jim Hansen. And this is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. After a nice spell of cooler, drier conditions, another return to some heat and humidity ahead, more so on the humidity side than the heat. It will not be turning as hot this week as last week, but it will certainly be turning humid, and that humidity will be manifested not only in the feel of the air, but the clouds, the showers, and thunder showers that are on the way. The call for this afternoon, rather cloudy across Pennsylvania and becoming so where it has not already in New York State. Showers and thunder showers spreading across parts of the area with high temperatures in the 70s. Rather cloudy and muggy tonight, tomorrow with showers and rumbles. 60s tonight, 70s tomorrow. Wednesday clouds, sun showers and thunder showers, 70s in the 80s. There could be some locally heavy rains over the next several days, particularly for those of you in central and eastern Pennsylvania.
All right, just in case you missed the rain, thank you very much, Kevin. And finally, from us at noon today, Major League Baseball's Field of Dreams game. Remember that last week? Well, it's doing wonders for the 1989 movie Field of Dreams.
If you build it, he will come.
Amazon reports sales of the Kevin Costner classic have risen dramatically since the big game last Thursday night between the White Sox and the Yankees in Dyersville, Iowa. Major League Baseball says it was the most watched regular season game in more than 16 years. And that's the world we live in. Monday, the 16th of August. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.